St. Stephen's, welcome to worship today. We're so very pleased that you can join us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today, we welcome Andy, our board chair, to the pulpit, and we look forward to the message God has prepared in him. Would you join me now in today's call to worship? Come, come praise the eternal God. Let all that is within us, body, emotions, mind, and will, praise God's holy name. Despite our failures, he forgives and releases us. More than any doctor, he heals our diseases. When we are famished and weak, he fills us with good and beautiful things, satisfying our needs and restoring our strength. So come, come praise the eternal God, sing songs from a grateful heart, and remember all that he has done for us. If you usually light a candle as a practice to help you worship, let's do that together now. Let's pray. God of healing and wholeness, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts for all the evidence of your goodness and mercy, found not only in stories of old, but in lives today. Lives bruised with tragedy find consolation when touched by your gracious spirit. Lives scarred with suffering and rejection have hope renewed through the power of the living Christ. We praise and adore you for hearts and lives transformed by your grace and mercy, and we pray that our lives will reflect your great acts of kindness. Let a love like yours arise in us, we pray, so that we reach out to this wounded and troubled world with the compassion of Christ, proclaiming the gospel with integrity to friends and strangers alike. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please pray the prayer of confession with me. God of love, when your children suffer, are displaced, persecuted, or worse, your heart is saddened. You cry out for justice. When apathy dulls our hearts and we do not speak out, forgive us. When we are slow to respond and lives are lost, forgive us. Give us a heart for justice and a prophetic voice that this world might see your love in action through our lives and words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our lives are full of uncertainty. However, in Jesus there is certainty, and this truth: our sins are forgiven. We start afresh. We can go forward a forgiven people. And the people say, Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Luke 13, verses 10 to 17. One Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in a synagogue. A woman there had an evil spirit that had kept her sick for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called out to her, "Woman, you are free from your sickness." He placed his hands on her, and at once she straightened herself up and praised God. The official of the synagogue was angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. So he spoke up and said to the people, "There are 6 days in which we should work. So come during those days and be healed, but not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, any one of you would untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and take it out to give it water on the Sabbath. Now here is this descendant of Abraham, whom Satan has kept in bonds for 18 years. Should she not be released on the Sabbath?" His answer made his enemies ashamed of themselves, while the people rejoiced over all the wonderful things that he did. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning to all of you. Most of you know Diane is away, and most of you know that I'm doing the homily today. If you turned up because you were hoping for a board report, you're going to be disappointed. This is a homily. Let's pray. Lord, give us ears to listen, hearts to hear, and minds to understand your will for us today. Amen. In the prescribed lectionary used by the United Church of Canada and the Anglican Church of Canada and some other denominations, our gospel reading is from Luke, the story of the healing of a badly crippled woman. This year's cycle of the lectionary has a lot of focus on Luke's gospel, from late January to mid-April, and then from mid-June to mid-November. And if you do the math, that's about 37 of 52 Sundays in this year's cycle. That's a lot of focus on one gospel. To date, in Luke, we've heard about healings, miracles, many parables, several preaching events in synagogues, some specific teachings of the disciples, discussion about keeping the Sabbath holy and what activities are and are not appropriate, the commissioning of the 70 and their joyful return, and visits with friends like Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and some admonitions to be ready, watchful, faithful, and bear fruit. Last week, we heard from Jane about how we can be confident that God is our pilot, and a warning from Jesus that there will be discord when we challenge or question the status quo. This week, we are back to a healing and another challenge about whether or not Jesus should be working on the Sabbath. And it does lead to some discord as Jesus questions the status quo. Before we enter into the gospel story, I want to mention that the weekly lectionary also has other readings, usually an Old Testament reading, a reading from Psalms, and frequently another New Testament reading that is not a gospel. I mention this because much care goes into these groupings of Sunday readings, and there is some important carryover between the gospel message and the other readings. This week is no exception. we get a perspective that enlivens and personalizes the gospel teaching for us. But more on this later. Let me turn to our gospel story for today from Luke. Jesus is a faithful worshiper on the Sabbath, and so it is not surprising that he attends the local synagogue. Here's the account in Eugene Peterson's The Message. He was teaching in one of the meeting places on the Sabbath. There was a woman present, so twisted and bent over with arthritis that she couldn't even look up. She'd been afflicted with this for 18 years. When Jesus saw her, he called her over. "Woman, you're free." He laid his hands on her, and suddenly she was standing straight and tall and giving glory to God. I have to say, I get goosebumps when I read these stories of healings. Here is a woman who is likely a faithful member of the synagogue. After all, she was there in attendance. Her health situation was literally crippling. We do not know how old she was, but we do know that her bent-over, crippling state had endured for 18 years. Constant pain, difficulty moving her legs, perhaps, arms, neck. Yet, there she is, in the women's section of the synagogue, listening to Jesus' teaching from the Torah. For some reason, Jesus sees her back there, and he calls her up front. Imagine the effort she had to make to work her way forward, yet she goes. And with the words, "You are free," and Jesus' hands placed on her, she is completely healed. Completely healed. And she starts praising God. That's where I get the goosebumps. Like many stories in Luke, there are other parts that follow. Here's part two, taken again from The Message. The meeting place president, furious because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the congregation, "6 days have been defined as work days. Come on one of those six if you want to be healed, but not on the seventh, the Sabbath." Now, Jesus has had several run-ins in local synagogues by this point in his ministry. And in our story, Jesus shows compassion for a woman in great pain and does it right in the middle of the church service. Somewhat disruptive? I would say so. And the meeting place president, aka the rabbi, the minister, lets loose with a big pushback. He is ticked. He speaks to the congregation assembled, not to Jesus. He tells them that they have all week to be healed, but don't come to the synagogue to get healed on the Sabbath. This is the do no work on the Sabbath rule. Please, we have rules here. Well, this comment really hits a nerve with Jesus. Here's how it's expressed in The Message. But Jesus shot back, "You frauds. Each Sabbath, every one of you regularly unties your cow or donkey from its stall, leads it out for water, and thinks nothing of it. So why isn't it all right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham and lead her from the stall where Satan has had her tied these 18 years. Here, Jesus uses a lesser to greater argument. Any one of you would help your animal out of its stall to get it water and food to care for it on the Sabbath. So isn't this woman worthy of at least the same care and kindness on the Sabbath? He calls her a daughter of Abraham, perhaps to demonstrate that she is part of the covenant community. She matters. She is important. She is loved by God. Ever logical, Jesus is aware that even with a prohibition on work on the Sabbath, there are exceptions listed in Exodus. What better exception could there be than to end the suffering that has gripped a person for so many years to bring healing on the Sabbath, to show the grace and mercy of God, to set someone free, especially on the Sabbath? The wording Jesus uses translated into English seems to me harsh. In the text that Beth read in the RSV, he says, "You hypocrites." And in the message that I just read, "You frauds." I expect that Jesus is demonstrating some of his very human nature, frustrated that this issue of work on the Sabbath keeps popping up as he travels from synagogue to synagogue to synagogue. There seem to be so many rules to follow that doing what was right and caring in God's eyes was getting lost, getting buried in the avalanche of do's and don'ts. Let me express it this way. Does God love me or you more because we sing perfectly, pray with our eyes closed more tightly, tithe perfectly, or if our children and grandchildren wiggle less in their seats? I hope that you know that the answer is an emphatic no. Janine Brown, a seminarian from Minnesota, expresses it in this way. Jesus does not want the laws in Exodus or their narrow interpretation to get in the way of the bursting forth of the kingdom of joy, of healing. Jesus does not want the laws in Exodus or their narrow interpretation to get in the way of the bursting forth of the kingdom of joy, of healing. When asked, Jesus summed up what was important to God this way. First, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And second, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus lived this way his entire life. He loved and praised God, and he certainly treated this crippled woman as a neighbor in need, his neighbor in need. There is a final part to this gospel story. The synagogue leaders could not mount a defense to Jesus' logic, and the crowd goes wild. Here's the wording from the message. When he put it that way, his critics were left looking quite silly and red-faced. The congregation was delighted and cheered him on. I hope that the point made here by Luke is not, look how Jesus put them in their place. Rather, that Jesus used the Old Testament teachings to inform. to show that the rules were to free people to worship God in ways that pleased God. God does not want us shackled to rules. He wants us unchained to praise Him, to sing, to delight in worship, to care for a neighbor in need or in pain, to stand up for injustice, to honor and respect creation. God longs for us to be free like the woman in our gospel reading. At the start, I mentioned the synchronicity of messaging in the lectionary, which can enliven and personalize the gospel teachings for us. I want to highlight two of these other readings. They're both in the bulletin and on the website, so you can read them later. In Psalm 71, the psalmist passionately describes how he or she relies on God to protect and free. Here's Psalm 71 from the Message. I run for dear life to God. I'll never live to regret it. Do what you do so well. Get me out of this mess and up on my feet. Put your ear to the ground and listen. Give me space for salvation. Be a guest room where I can retreat. You said your door was always open. You're my salvation, my vast granite fortress. My God, free me from the grip of wicked, from the clutch of bad and bully. You keep me going when times are tough. My bedrock, God, since my childhood. I've hung on to you from the day of my birth, the day you took me from the cradle. I will never run out of praise. The second reading is prophecy from Isaiah in chapter 58, long before Jesus was born. A prophecy that we can have a full life in the emptiest of places. This also speaks about God's promise to help us rebuild our lives, to make things new, stronger, better. It speaks about finding the freedom to enjoy God. Here's Isaiah 58 from the Message. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins, if you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will also show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew, rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate and make the community livable again. And then Isaiah adds, if you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor Jacob. And then Isaiah adds, yes, God says so. In Jesus, God came to us. Fulfillment of this prophecy. To protect, to guide, to build, to set us free. Not surprising, he would tell a crippled woman, "You are set free even on the Sabbath." We know that she began to immediately praise God. I wonder what rebuilding she moved on to in her life and in her community. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, come set us free, each one. Bring the joy and delight which comes from knowing you've got us. Undo the shackles, take off the burdens. Let the healing begin. And the people say, Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee, filled with messages from Thee. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee, ever only all for Thee, ever.
Good morning. Dear Lord, we bow our heads before you as we celebrate our beautiful summer days. However, we pray for your assistance to the many people around the world and here in Canada who are coping with extreme heat. We ask that you keep everyone safe and receiving the help that they need, and your blessing on those who are working in the heat to keep others safe. We ask you to help, too, in sending rain to cool the forest fires that are raging in so many places. And today we think especially of the interior of BC and Newfoundland. We thank the many firefighters working in extremely difficult conditions and ask for your protection upon them. We think, too, of the many gifts of summer. We thank you for the special times we can spend with loved ones, be they family or friends, those people who show us love with no end, who listen with compassion and grace without counting cost, people who share our hallelujah moments, people who show your love in their smiling faces. We thank you for the beauty of the summer, the warmth and brightness of the colors around us, the cooling shade of the trees, forest walks, the delight of the oceans, lakes, and swimming pools, the diversity of all the plants around us, including the edible plants that are now starting to arrive en masse, the beautiful, tasty vegetables and fruits that the earth has provided with your blessings. As we slowly head towards autumn, we thank you for walking with us through the seasons of our lives, and for now we accept and celebrate the gift of summer. We do this by honoring you with your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, we give you great thanks for the many ways in which you give to the mission and work of this congregation. Would you pray with me now this offertory prayer, dedicating these gifts back to God's purposes? Merciful God, the gifts we bring are so small in comparison to the vast needs in our world. Nowhere near enough to save the thousands dying of starvation all around the world, or even to meet the needs of the hungry and homeless in our city. Yet we have brought what we can. As you once multiplied the five small loaves and two fish, multiply these gifts as well, so that once again the hungry may receive all they need and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, Jesus is here now and offers to set us free. Now go forth. Or as Eugene Peterson might say, go, get out there, and love and serve God. Amen.
Lost or saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Cheers.